Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
When she said, "Would you please cover me with the hem of your garment?" she is asking Boaz to cover her, to take her under his authority. Verse 11, "And now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do for you all that you have requested. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman, as we said. Now it is true that I am a close relative. Your mother-in-law was right. However, there is a relative closer than I." That's Danny DeVito right there. This is a love story. He says, "I tell you what, stay this night and I'm going to go handle this thing first thing in the morning." Now chapter 4, verse 1. "Now Boaz went up to the gate." The city gate, you guys, was where the elders hung out and it's where much business was conducted. We would sort of liken this to our own city hall. "So he went up to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken of, Danny DeVito, came by. So Boaz said, 'Hey, good to see you. Come aside, friend. Sit down here.' And he came and he sat down. And then he took 10 men. 10 is the number of witness, but I think I see also a wink of the Holy Spirit. What are the number of commandments that mostly come to mind when you think of the law of the Old Testament? The 10 commandments. Can you see a model being done here? Let's take a quick review. We've got the Jewish nobleman who sees a Gentile bride, but wants to have her, but there's some stuff he's got to do. Naomi, who is she a model of? She's a model of Israel, if you will. More on that in a moment. There is something, a matter that must be attended to first. The 10 commandments, if you will, or the law. Okay, Danny DeVito, come down here. And he is a picture of the law. Then he said to the closer relative, "Hey, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land," really, she leased it, "which belonged to our brother Elimelech." The guy's going, "Yeah, I know all that. I got that." Verse 4. "And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Hey, let's buy it back in the presence of all these people.'" 10 also is the number of witness. "The inhabitants of the elders of my people. And if you will redeem it, well, then redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it. And then I am next after you." This is the kinsman redeemer at work here, all talked about in the Old Testament. So then Danny DeVito says, "You mean there's land? Okay, I'll redeem it. Now watch Boaz." Verse 5. Then Boaz says, "Well, good for you. That's a good thing. You're going to help out Naomi. On the day you buy the field, though, from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." What is going on? Join me in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Here's what's going on. Verse 5. "Now if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, well, then the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside of the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of the husband's brother for her. If I have an older brother and he brings home his betrothed, they get married, they don't have any offspring, my older brother dies, the law here says me as the second brother, I can't marry anybody else but her. And when I have children, of course, they will be loved within the family, but the legal standing of the firstborn son will pass not to me, but to that son." Does that make sense? By the way, that's why Judah gets into trouble. have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah, one of the sons, he has an older boy. She marries, you remember Tamar? And then the Bible doesn't give specifics other than, and he did terrible in the sight of the Lord, so God took him. So he's dead. Onan is son number two of Judah. You have to go marry your brother's sister, and if you're going to have kids, they won't count to you. They're going to count to your older brother. And then the Bible says that Onan practiced a form of birth control, and God killed him. You have to understand, is God against family planning? No. He's against family plotting. Onan was not wanting to have anything to do with what God said, and he wanted his own inheritance for himself. That's why God took him. So Judah had one more son. And the Bible says, well, Tamar, you're in mourning. You go ahead and hang out there. And when my youngest son is old enough, he'll marry you. And he's all, I'm not going to have my youngest son marry. I'm not going to be 0-for-3 for sons. So he had it in his heart that he wasn't going to do anything about that. And the story goes that Tamar finds out about that. Really, she says. So you know what she does? She dresses up like a harlot and she hangs out at this portion in the road where she knows Judah is going to be cruising through. He's going to be on a business trip and he's going to be pulling up on his convertible with his gray hair poking out of his shirt, unbuttoned shirt, and his gold chains hanging out. And she's going to be dressed up and you can only see her eyes. She's going to pull up on his business trip. Vroom! What's up? How you doing? How much? One sheep, please. He's all, well, I don't have one on me, but what will you take for credit? Oh, how about your ring? Signet ring, where the stamp that you would impress upon wax, you know, the authority, your bracelet, and I think there's a staff involved. And then, so they go in, they do their thing. He goes home, and everybody says, welcome home, Judah. We're so glad to see you. Yeah, I know. And he tells his servant, now, go back and take the sheep to the corner of such and such and such and stuff and get my stuff back. So the guy goes out there, and she's not there. So the servant comes back. She wasn't there. She goes, well, okay. 3 months later, a scream is heard. Eek! What is it? What is it? What is it? Tamar! What's the matter with Tamar? She's pregnant. She's played the harlot. And Judah says, bring her here. We're going to burn her. Who are you pregnant by? And she says, by this guy. It was Judah's ring. By this guy, the staff. By this guy, the bracelet. And all cameras and all faces turned back to Judah. Oh, and Judah, to his credit, says, she was more righteous than I. Why? It all has to do with this law in Deuteronomy 25. By the way, that sordid, horrible story of ostensibly people of God behaving very badly. The point of it is, who is born? There is a son by the name of Perez who is born. Now, you have to remember that he is now a bastard son. And the book of Deuteronomy 23 says, a bastard son, it's going to require 10 generations until that 10th generation is accepted back in, is Levitically pure enough to worship again at the temple. What a mess! But take some encouragement. No matter how wacky the humans are, God can still get his purpose done. And Tamar is mentioned in the lineage of our precious Messiah. You know who else is there? So is Rahab. Do you remember Rahab? Rahab was the lady who was the harlot of Jericho. And the two spies go in. And she shields them, saves their life. And when the armies come in and the walls fall down, she is saved. She's going to get married. Did you know that? She's going to get married to a fellow by the name of Salmon. Do you know who Salmon is? It's Boaz's dad. Oh, the plot thickens. Where was I? Deuteronomy 25, verse 7 now. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brothers. Verse 8, then the elders of the city shall call him, speak to him, but if he stands firm, I'm not going to do it, then his brother's wife, the one scorned, shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot. What? And watch this. And then spit in his face. Pooey! How many of you have ever been reading through the Bible and you go, what is that doing in the scriptures? Whenever something looks weird, hits you a little sideways, it is something about Jesus. Back to Ruth, and we're almost done. When Jesus was on the cross, he is our nearest redeemer of humankind. Did you know that? He was offering himself as the propitiation for sin. That's a fancy Bible word for saying the Redeemer of Israel and all humankind. That was his offer on the Mount of Olives 4 days in front. The Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. As a nation, Israel rejected him and they put him on a cross. And before they would drive the spike through his feet, they had to remove his sandal. Along with the harangues of insults from the crowd, what else did the people do? They spit in his face. Do you see? God in the flesh offered himself as the kinsman redeemer. I'll redeem you. I can and I am willing. Let me redeem. Let me redeem. No, remove his shoe and spit in his face. And Israel refused their Goel. Powerful? Let's finish our story in Ruth, and we're almost done. So Boaz said, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Uh-oh, says Danny DeVito. Wait a minute. Naomi had a son that married Ruth? Uh-huh. Let me guess. He died and left no offspring. Boaz is all. Yeah, it's about the size of it. Now, what does Danny DeVito say? Nuh-uh, I don't want to mess up my own inheritance. I am not able, nor am I willing to redeem. Do you see the picture? The law cannot redeem us. The law traditionally was given on Pentecost. Moses comes down with the tablets. He sees everybody sinning. Do you remember what he did with the tablets? He broke them. There was a great plague. How many people died when the law was revealed? 3,000. On the same day, the 6th of Sivan, Pentecost, when Jesus pours out his spirit and the church is born, how many are saved? 3,000. The law cannot redeem. Grace does redeem. Verse 6. And the closer relative, Danny DeVito, says, I cannot redeem. You might want to highlight that with your Jesus glasses on now. I cannot redeem for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem it. You redeem my right of redemption. You be the Goel, the kinsman redeemer for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. One man took off his what, everybody? Sandal, right? Deuteronomy 25, verse 9. And give it to the other, verse 8. Therefore, the close relative, Danny DeVito, said to Boaz, buy it yourself. So he took off his sandal. Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahalon's from the hand of Naomi. And moreover, Ruth the Moabitess. When the kinsman redeemer redeemed the land, he also redeemed Ruth. Verse 11, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. Who are they? They're the moms of the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah, that's Bethlehem, and be famous in Bethlehem. Let me ask you, is Bethlehem famous? And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. At that point, we're all hoisting our glasses. Yes, be like Perez, whom Tamar bore. What? Because of the sordid story, you see. Now let's remember, Perez is a bastard child. How many generations until that lineage is redeemed or is it legitimized? 10. And the field that Boaz redeemed, in my opinion, I can't prove it. I'm just putting it out there, but I'll bet you $5 million I'm right. That the shepherd's field, whom the angel showed up to, was Boaz's and Ruth's field. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem's main income about the time of the annunciation of Jesus' birth by the angel, their main occupation and industry was shepherding. And shepherds were considered the lowest class of people, the lowest economic rung on the ladder. But the rabbis thought if you were a shepherd, you were already ceremonially unclean. You can't come to the temple of God. You can't come to the house of God. So you know what God did on that night? He came to them. Imagine watching the crackling firelight and suddenly heaven is opened up with its blinding light. And the thunder of thousands of angels and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands more. Glory to God in the highest. He's here. He's here. Woo! You know who the very first missionaries were? They were shepherds. Because what did the angel say? Go tell. Verse 17, the neighbor women gave him a name, this baby born to Boaz and Ruth, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. You know what Obed means? Worshipped. There is a son worshipped. He is the father of Jesse. Is it starting to ring a bell now? And Obed's grandson will be David. Let's count real fast. Verse 18. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. 1. Begot Hezron. 2. Hezron begot Ram. 3. Ram begot Abinadab. 4. Abinadab begot Nashon. 5. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon is Boaz's dad. No wonder Boaz didn't blink an eye that she's from a Moabitess, because his mom was Rahab the harlot. Salmon is 6. Salmon begot Boaz. He's 7. Boaz begot Obed. That's 8. Obed begot Jesse. That's 9. And Jesse begot whom, everybody? David. David is the 10th generation. The lineage is restored. Now do you see why he's born in Bethlehem? Because it's almost as if God is shouting every year, please read the book of Ruth and watch. Because who introduces Ruth to Boaz? An unnamed servant. Just like the Holy Spirit will never speak of himself. John 16, verse 13. Who is the nearer kinsman? You mean Danny DeVito? He's the law, unable to redeem. Who is Boaz? He's our hero. He's the Jewish nobleman. He is a type of Jesus. Who is Naomi? She is a type of Israel. Ruth is a type of the church. The land redeemed is God's promises and faithfulness of heritage. Obed, a son worshipped. The threshing floor is a picture of the great tribulation. During the great tribulation, where is Ruth? She's with whom? Boaz! In order to bring Ruth to Naomi, Naomi had to be exiled from the land. Was Israel ever exiled from the land? What the closer Redeemer couldn't do, Boaz could through grace. Ruth does not replace Naomi by any means. Do we have that one straight? Ruth learns of Boaz's ways through Naomi. If you want to learn much about your rich Christian heritage, please, by all means, know the richer history of the Jewish people. Naomi, Israel, meets Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, through Ruth. It is the church that Jesus says is going to make Israel go, so that's what it's about. And no matter how much Boaz loved Ruth, he had to wait for her to invite him to cover her. Amen? Let's all stand together. Why Bethlehem? We're supposed to remember the story of Ruth. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this powerful, powerful imagery of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi and Elimelech and the house of bread in the land of praise. The Danny DeVito character, the nearer redeemer who didn't want to, nor was he able to redeem. Lord, I pray that we hold our Bible with even more reverence and understanding, realizing, wow, there is no way humans could have come up with these interconnecting truths over 1,600 years. Lord, I want to pray quickly for my students in this room, high school students, college students who are being bombarded to say, you don't believe in that Bible, do you? It's just a collection of crazy stories. Oh, I pray that today's exercise, Lord, has opened up everybody's sensitivity to the amazing Bible that you have left us. And Lord, now, especially in this Christmas season, may now we begin to realize all that was going on in that field and in that feeding trough. Baby Jesus was, is, God in the flesh, our kinsman, redeemer, our Goel. And Lord, let us not, as it were, take off the shoe. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you have not given your heart to that kinsman, redeemer, the offer still stands. He's standing in your life right now. He's saying, if you'll allow me, I am willing. And I am able to redeem you. Let me, just let me. And all that you have to do is receive. Say something like, Lord Jesus, I get it. Modeled in Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. I get it. I receive you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation purchased on the cross for my sin. I give you my life. Save me, Lord. Be my kinsman, redeemer. And Lord, one more quick prayer for our nation. Lord, our nation is in trouble. Financially, it's a mess. Emotionally, spiritually, we are a mess. Lord, help us as Christians to stop pointing our finger at Congress. And get our booties in this place, noon to 1 o'clock, and pray and fast and weep and repent and intercede for this great nation, that there may be one more great revival. And all of God's children said, amen, 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 Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.